Hold on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio tonight. I am really excited about tonight's topic. We are giving teachers their due time, and we're also going to be addressing a lot of the church burnings that have been going on, ignatium, like just on and on and on the issues. We're going to address those, and we'll also have an opportunity to talk about U.S. Airman Michael Giles and his wrongful conviction. But before any further ado, Brother Yah, are you on the line tonight?
I am. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
Good. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. Yeah, you know, there's quite a few things that are going on. For those that are just now tuning in to the show, we've been off for the last 2 weeks, and we got we got a lot to talk about. A lot has been going on. We are in the process of launching several new radio stations, international and local, St. Louis, Missouri, and like I said, also an international one. So we'll keep you guys updated and posted on those accomplishments and how you can tune into the radio shows as well. In addition to this one will continue to be a weekly show. As you know, this is like a grassroots launch for interns. So it's like an opportunity to give interns some broadcasting experience before they go on to their next venture. Mm-hmm. Iron Man was with us for a while and hosting the show with LaToya. And, you know, again, we are utilizing this as a platform for those that are interested in getting your feet wet, so to speak, in broadcasting with us. And then, you know, perhaps starting your own radio show here on Blog Talk or joining us, you know, as we expand and you know, establish stations, you know, internationally. So
international. Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's pretty exciting. Like, this is, when you think about, you know, reason Black Lives Matters is because, you know, we are a resilient people. You know, we can start from the bare minimum, you know, and, you know, come out with something that's in multitudes and multiplies and grows and just, you know, we don't die, we multiply, you know, and we really have this opportunity and this platform here to create learning experiences everywhere. And that's what it's really all about. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, teaching and education and all the platforms we're able to share should be that opportunity to learn and grow together. So, you know, it's really exciting to see all the growth and things happening. And so I'm excited to be able to have this conversation to grow and learn more about what's happening across the nation tonight, especially with regards to teachers and teacher strikes for social justice, as well as discussions of the injustices happening in the church burnings and U.S. Airman Michael Giles' wrongful conviction. And we will be talking about all of that tonight, and it's more to come for our weekly show. So I'm really excited about that. So,
awesome. So yes, you know, with the church, you know, they had on the news last week that they found one of the suspects or a suspect, an African-American male or man, who allegedly burned 7 churches here in St. Louis, Missouri. Unbelievable.
Wow.
I don't even believe it. I mean, somebody had to be the fall guy, right? It's kind of like, you know, going back to the whole Ferguson ordeal when they say that a African-American man, again, an African-American young man, shot at the police during the riots. I don't believe that. I mean, what black person in their right mind is going to be shooting at the cops in the midst of all these protesters and then claiming to be a protester? And no one's ever seen this guy out protesting with us or with, you know, any of the residents or here in St. Louis, Missouri. No one ever seen this person. No one knew who he was. So, I mean, there's, a black face, a young black face who's the fall guy for shooting at the cops, doing the peaceful rioting demonstrations. I don't know why they call it riots. And then here you go. You got churches being burned across the U.S. In Charleston. You know, you had it in Charleston and St. Louis. And it's a black person that's burning these churches. I mean, when did black folks start burning churches? Please help me to understand that.
Yeah.
When did the black folks start burning churches? I've never heard that before. I've never seen that before.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
It's interesting. Very interesting.
It is.
Very interesting.
I mean, sorry. Go ahead, brother. There's so much going on right now in terms of thinking about what that could be, where it could come from. I'm just wondering what does that mean for the future and our relationships and our connection to the churches and what they're there for and what does that mean into the future and how do we, I feel like, is this the 60s? Like what's happening right now? You know, like I'm a little at loss with regards to whether it's a brother or not. Like why is the loss of human life so irrelevant to people now that it's just, it's absolutely nothing to go burn a church, go burn 7 churches. Or even to even feel as if someone's life was not worthy of enough, even if he was the fallback guy, right? Like, so somehow he was hand selected, his life didn't matter enough. And so, hey, now we're going to handpick him to be the one that's going to get in trouble. He can't either, you know, legal representation, all that might go with it. It really is interesting. And it's just, it has me in awe of, you know, the irreverence to human lives across the board. So It's a bit much for me.
Things that make you wonder, right? Things
yes,
that make you wonder. So, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting a good one of the supporters and in Washington D.C. when I went to the Million Man March back in October 10, 2015, almost a month ago actually, and I met a sister out there who was passing out flyers, and she was talking about, you know, Michael Giles, and you know, she. The mother, Michael Giles, will actually be calling into the show tonight, as well as Sister Charisse. And hopefully I'm pronouncing her name correctly. But, yeah, Sister Charisse will be calling in along with Sister Phyllis, the mother of Michael Giles. And we'll be talking a little bit more about what happened. So, you know, for those that are just listening in to the show, let's talk a little bit about the story of what happened. All right, so here's a little background on what actually happened. Now, this is the account, this is the family's account of what actually transpired on the night of February 6, 2010. So hopefully, am I coming through clear?
Absolutely. So we're going to give folks a little background on that story. So on February 6, 2010, active duty Air Force serviceman Michael Giles was invited to a Tallahassee nightclub for a few by a few of his friends. And Giles, a young father, was stationed at Tampa at the time after spending the previous 6 years on tours of duty in places such as Iraq and Kuwait. Michael accepted the invitation to hang out, thinking it would be a good time, but the night took a violent turn. Two area fraternity chapters began arguing and fighting inside of the club, and the chaos soon turned into a brawl involving dozens of people spilled out into the parking lot of the club. Also, Michael thought that during the commotions, his friend may have gathered at the rental car one of his buddies had used to drive everyone to the party that night. However, when he made it to the vehicle, he didn't see his friends there, and he retrieved his legally owned handgun from the glove box and resumed his search for his friends. I removed the handgun because the car was unlocked and people were walking between the cars, Michael says. Despite the fact that he was not involved in the fight, while Michael was looking for his friends, he was attacked from behind and punched to the ground. Fearing for his life, he fired two shots from his firearm in an attempt to defend himself. His attacker was struck in the leg, but not seriously injured. The gunshots broke up the fight, and Michael says he went across the street from the club to get away from the people that harmed him. He was arrested shortly after the incident and charged in Florida State Court. There was little dispute over the facts of the case. The prosecutor, when defense attorneys agreed that Michael had been attacked. Even the testimony of Michael's attacker supported that fact. However, prosecutors argue that he did not need to fire a gun to defend himself and charge him with attempted murder. If I wouldn't have had my firearm that night, I believe I would have been killed or would be permanently handicapped right now, Michael says. I was never one for trouble, which is the reason why I never had a criminal record before this offense. Ultimately, Michael was acquitted of the attempted murder charges, but a jury convicted him of aggravated battery. Because a gun was involved, the offense carries a mandatory minimum sentence under Florida's 10/20 life law, and Michael was sentenced to 25-year minimum required by the law, despite his judge's strong objections. During trial, and again at sentencing, Michael's judge expressed concern over the sentence. Frankly, the judge said, I think the 25-year mandatory is overly harsh on the facts of this case, but that is what the law requires I do. I have no legal authority to impose less than that. And that's the story of U.S. Airman Michael Giles.
Wow. So
wow.
Another story of injustice, another brother wrongfully convicted. So we're going to hear from the family of Michael Giles a little bit into the show And we'll hear from them personally. Again, Phyllis, the mother of Michael Giles, as well as a friend and supporter, Sister Charisse. My heart goes out to the family. And we'll continue to fight for your justice, brother. And we'll continue speaking truth to power and exposing the system for who and what they are, to end this this tyranny against our people. Also, we want to talk about the strike. We've had teachers going on strike in East St. Louis, Illinois, which is just right across the water from St. Louis, Missouri, right across from downtown St. Louis. And District 189 is the school where the teachers are striking. And we're expected to hear from some of the teachers who participated in that strike. And, they'll hopefully kind of give you guys some information on, the purpose of the strike, why they were striking, and why the strike came to a sudden end all of a sudden. And basically, they were sold out. So the bottom line, so the teachers that really wanted to strike and wanted to continue to strike were forced to not continue to strike because most of the other strikers had already returned to work and had already began signing new contracts that prevented them from striking for 3 to 4 years. And in this contract, the contract kind of went into some other details as well. And so, again, we're hoping to have some of the other callers, a friend of mine call in to the line to kind of talk about what that looks like, what really happened, and what's going to be the next few steps from here. So how the phone line is looking?
Right now, it looks like we have our guests on the line, and we're going to be ready to jump right into that next segment after this short break. Should we go ahead and take a break?
Yeah, we could take a little break, definitely.
We'll give the folks just a minute, a couple minutes to get prepared for the next segment, and then we'll jump right in it. We'll be right back.
In a little tent, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too. But I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
All right, and we are back. Just a couple minutes just to get regroup and head into our next segment. So sounds like folks are fighting for social justice, the teachers, the folks that matter so much in our community about, how education is transferred, how students come to understand and love and appreciate learning experiences. Teachers have may sound extreme to folks, but I've always said it. Teachers really do hold life and death in their hands when they come to a classroom and are interacting with our babies day in and day out. How we interact at home with them transfers over to those classrooms, and what happens in those classrooms really matter because they're in there so long in a day. So what's going on in St. Louis? What's happening with these teachers, and why are they striking in the first place?
Yeah, you know, there's a few things that are actually going on with the teachers striking. You've got, and you know, we posted some of the pictures on Facebook as well. A few weeks ago, I posted some pictures on there. I actually attended the strike over there and supported the teachers because, you know, I believe that our teachers are very, very important in the community. And I love our teachers. I really do. And teachers are a very special grade of people in a class by themselves. And that goes, that's really an understatement. Mm-hmm. It's really an understatement. You have teachers that actually care about our people, about our children. And then you have those that are milking the system. You have those that don't care, that are just there to get a paycheck. But for those teachers, men and women alike, that are really interested in educational reform and giving our children, exposing our children to the best education that they possibly can, those stories are untold stories.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Those stories need to be heard. So tonight we're hoping to hear from a guest who's one of the teachers calling from East St. Louis, Illinois. But I don't think that she's on the phone line yet. So we'll keep trying to get in contact with her to see when she's on the phone line, and we'll get her on to kind of talk about some of this stuff. But,
and what's that sister's name we have? Is that she's gonna be calling in from St. Louis?
Well, she'll be calling in from East St. Louis, Illinois. She may be calling in anonymously. She may be calling in. So we'll give her that option. You know, we'll give her that option if she wants to call in anonymous or she wants to disclose who she is. But a friend of mine in East St. Louis, and you know, like I said, I've went out there and I've stood neck and neck and hand in hand with them, and posted photos on social media of the event, you know, with the striking going on in East St. Louis. And, you know, I love our teachers. I love our teachers. And, you know, part of the strike was going on because, you know, you got administrators getting paid all of this money, but yet they're claiming that there's no money in the public education system. But they're making all this money each year. And they're what's going on is there's what you call a misappropriation of funds.
Mm-hmm.
And when those funds are misappropriated, then schools and programs and teachers, they get laid off. Programs get shut down. You know, things stop getting funded because of greed and because of misappropriation of funds. But so you know, we'll talk more about that once we get our special guest on to talk about that aspect of the educational reform piece. And you know, so hopefully we'll hear from her momentarily. I know she had a prior engagement, but said that she would be calling in. So we are certainly looking forward to hearing from her as well.
I can't wait.
In the meantime, I know, neither can I. In the meantime, in between time, we do have, I'm sure we do have our other guests on for tonight that are talking about Michael Giles. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
How are the phone lines looking now?
Looking like we have our guests on. I see we have 0568 and we have 2113. They may be our guests to call in. Let's see.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's check it out.
All right. Hi, our callers are live from the 770. Are you with us tonight?
I am.
Yes, I am.
This is Sharisa.
Hey, hi.
What's up, Sharisa? How you doing?
I'm fine, and Ms. Giles is on the phone, too.
What's up, Ms. Giles? How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
All right, so it's Giles, not Giles. So Giles.
That's correct.
Okay, so for the record, let's thank you so much, sister. We appreciate
it. Teresa,
thank you so much for calling in to the show again. It was a pleasure meeting you out there in Washington, D.C., the Million Man March. It was great. You were out there doing your thing, passing out flyers, and you was like, yo, brother, let me give you this. And I had to stop. I'm like, what's up, sis? What's this about? You're like, yeah, well, you know, this brother was wrongfully convicted. My ears was like, yeah, I'm on it. Let's do it. Let's talk about it. I'm going to have you on the show ASAP. And so here we are. So,
Thank you again.
Not a problem. It's a pleasure. This is what we do. Our show is your show. Your story is our story. Your family is our family. And that's why we do what we do, to support our family, right?
Absolutely. No other way to do it.
All right. So, you know, Sharissa, I met you first, so go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you, what you do, if you have any businesses. You got a minute to spit.
My name is Sharissa. I'm a friend of and supporter of Michael. I've known him and his family for about 5 years now. And just met him randomly one day in Atlanta, and we just kicked it off, and ever since then we've been friends. I attended the trial, and I just was amazed at how he was wrongly convicted for 25 years and how the judge was so strongly against sentencing him, but the state moved on with the charges. And I felt mainly because he was a black man and they didn't take into account his service record or his character or anything. So I just knew from then that I had to help get his story out there and help his family as much as possible.
See? That's why we need our strong sisters out here fighting for us, brothers. I mean, it's great. It's a beautiful thing that you're doing. And we need more people, men and women like you, you know, fighting for the true justice, social justice for our people. Because, you know, that's why we have our show. We're talking about social injustice affecting black lives in America, past, present, and future. And obviously, Michael Giles has been a victim of this social injustice. And we want to do what we can to you know, continue to speak truth to power, and also to let the world know that we are fighting on behalf of Michael Giles, who is wrongfully convicted. And based on the information that we have coming from you all, family, friends, and supporters, you know, we need to be doing something. You know, we need to be amplifying our voices. We need to be petitioning the judges, or you know, having the judge that knew what the right thing was, but failed to do it, to have him removed from that seat, you know, to have him removed from that seat.
The only thing with the judges, because of the law in Florida, it's a mandatory minimum, so he has no legal grounds he couldn't change the sentencing, or he could not change the sentence.
So we need to be fighting to change those laws.
We need
to be fighting to change those laws, because if those laws are unjust, the punishment should be commensurate with the crime. The punishment, according to what happened to Michael Giles, was not commensurate to the crime. He had absolutely nothing to do with this the fight. He had absolutely nothing to do with he simply defended himself, you know. So he shouldn't have gone to prison, nor should he have gotten sentenced to 25 years, which is the minimum sentence. And that's like a life sentence. You know, in Florida and in other states, it's 16 to 20. That's a life sentence.
Yeah.
So, sister, let's talk. You know, how do you feel about this? What's going on? What are your thoughts and views on hearing this from our supporters and family? And then we're gonna get Sister Phyllis on the line and talk about you know, all of this as well. She's the mother. For those that are just now tuning into the show, you're listening to the story of U.S. Airman Michael Giles, had wrongfully convicted.
You know, when I think about this incident, I can't help but think about all my friends and the brothers, especially the young brothers, that when you think about their tie-ups in the penal system, it quite often, in almost 9 out of every 10 instances, when I talk to brothers who have had run-ins with the law, quite often it has to do with self-defense. And a fight either escalates, or somebody's, in the case similar to the brother Michael Giles back on February 6th, trying to simply defend themselves because you just never know what another person is either dealing with on or willing to do. And he felt threatened, and quite often our brothers are felt they feel threatened while they're always looked at as a threat. And it is troubling for me as a woman, because, you know, as a mother, I want to be able to protect the brothers. As a woman and lover of Black men, I want to be able to protect them from those things, from all of those things also, for the very same reason. And it's just really unfortunate to see that so many of our brothers fall victim simply because they want to defend themselves and yet are looked at as so much of a villain that no one, not even the penal system, not even justice, not law, not a judge, not you know, no one is willing to say, okay, he had a reason to fire a shot. He has a background that says there's a chance that he knew what he was doing in terms of serving as even the active duty. This is someone that served our country. How much are we respecting our airmen? That goes into a whole other level of how are we respecting those people that serve. And so I'm sure these are some of the same worries and the pressing issues and things that are on the heart of his mother as well. I can only imagine. Actually, I can't. There's no possible way to imagine what, you know, kind of predicament, you know, and how that feels to try to bring someone you love and that so closely to you, who has been thought of as a criminal and, you know, was just trying to save his own life. And so as heavy as it is, and as much as it happens, I really would like to hear from his mother, Mr. Michael, U.S. Airman. You know, U.S. Airman Michael Giles. His mother is on the line to speak to that, and I'm hoping that maybe we can figure out exactly, you know, through your suggestion and what knowledge you have to share with us, how we can move forward and maybe protect Michael and other folks that might be in a situation like this, similar in Florida, into the future.
Well, welcome, sister. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you for having us.
And you're welcome.
Okay, my husband and I, we're both retired military, both retired Army, and we have two other sons that are retired veterans, that are veterans as well, not retired. And we're continually fighting the battle to bring Michael home, which is very, very, it's very hard. It's very hard. And Sharice, I want to let you know that we really appreciate all that you do for us as well. And as you all were talking about the case with the judge being removed, the prosecutors actually have the upper hand in the court cases. So I really don't know the judicial system, but what's the purpose of the judge to be there to be the mediator, whatever he's going to do, if the prosecutor has the upper hand? So the prosecutor can overrule anything that goes on in the courtroom. So maybe the seats need to be changed. I really don't know. But this has been very devastating for our family, especially when we are, none of the family has criminal records. That's not the type of life we live. So for something like this to happen, it hurts. It hurts very deeply. We're a very close family, and this has been, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's breathtaking, to say the least.
I mean, it is, and, you know, my heart goes out to you. Our heart goes out to you and your family through this troubling time. And we see it all the time how the judge and the prosecutors and the attorneys, they're all in cahoots with each other.
They are.
They're all, you know, at the dinner table talking about all of this stuff. And wrong is wrong, right is right. And the whole damn system is guilty as hell.
Uh-huh.
It's sad but true. And so we have to dismantle that system. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen. And it will happen when all of us begin to come together, coming together, fighting for the true justice and uplift of our people. That's the only way that it's going to work. Having your voices amplified constantly in their faces and redressing the issues with the law, with the laws in your state. Our people need to learn law. We need to learn how to combat this system with their own rules by combating them and fighting them at their own game. And I'm not advocating that everyone should be lawyers, but I am saying that our people should be educated in law to some degree. State law, federal law, local law, and we need to have classes, think tanks, developing think tanks on how to circumvent the injustices that are going on within the system. So, again, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And that's part of the reason why we have the show, to come up with ideas, thoughts and suggestions on how we could improve our communities better, how we can help families like yourselves, families like, you know, Tawanda Jones, and families like Michael Brown and Eric Garner and other families, victims of violence, because this is definitely you all have become victimized by these acts of violence by the system. Your son is victimized. He's a victim of this heinous offense against him and also against your family.
Yes.
So how can we help you? What is it that we can do to help amplify your voices and continue to get this information out there? What do you need us to do?
At this point, I guess there's really not much to do but to continue to speak up, even if it's anonymous, because if we go out and we say, well, I don't want to get involved because if I get involved, then, you know, it's going to turn on me. It'll be bad for me. I may lose my job, so I may come after me. People are always afraid to do that, and I do understand. I understand because, you know, the world is really, it's not fair. Retaliation is really high. But at this point for Michael, I just pray. We just pray for him because we've done everything that we can do, and I guess this really shows us that it's not really in our hand. It's just a God thing now. We've done the appeal. We've done the habeas corpus. We've done everything. Everything there's possibly to do, we have done. But the most disheartening thing about this case also is that the own states, the state's investigator, you know, they sent an investigator to go out and do all their legwork to see what, you know, to look at the case. They recommended that nothing be done to Michael. If they
was
wanted
it a local
do,
investigator or outside
it was,
of it?
It was a local investigator with their department.
That never works. That never works.
Really?
We should definitely ask for the Department of Justice to step in and to do a thorough and separate investigation as to what's going on. Because, again, it's the judge, the prosecutor, the attorney, they're all in cahoots with each other.
Yes,
so no,
they are.
Private attorneys, private investigators, special appointed investigators, and the Department of Justice to really step in and really investigate, you know, what's really going on, because the family's not going to receive justice.
Right.
You know, not in that regard. So
we did not.
Yeah, so that's and one thing that we definitely need to begin doing. Someone had a comment or question?
Oh, I just wanted to mention we currently have a website up, justiceformike.com, and you can go on there and just keep up with the news section. If anything changes, we'll update listeners, and you can sign a petition, because currently, like Ms. Miller said, there's nothing we can do but wait, and we have a petition going to have people sign it, because we just want as many people to sign as possible, because they're just not going to let them go. We're going to have to fight for it. So.
And again, yeah, there's things that we can do. We don't just have to wait. I think what should be done is, again, we need to begin requesting in the petition that our investigation, a special appointed investigator, the DOJ, Department of Justice, they do a thorough investigation as well into these matters to see what other, what else can, you know, can that they can find out, because like what happened here in St. Louis, Missouri, when the Department of Justice came in, they unraveled a whole bunch of racism within the police department. And I'm sure they unravel a lot of that, you know, in your state, in your city even, with the way they deal with African-Americans and or people of color. So, again, go ahead and tell us the website again, as well as any and all social media where you all can be reached at as well.
If you go to www.justiceformike.com, you can find the link to the Facebook page, the change.org petition that we have, and just any information we have as far as news. When we get updates, we post it on that site.
Sounds good. And what about Facebook? So are you suggesting that everyone just goes to that website or other Facebook pages at all?
Yeah, if you go to that website, it has the Facebook link on it. And you can also follow us on Facebook for any updates.
Sounds good, Sister LaToya. Of course.
And look, and also when you were saying that everyone needs to be familiar with the law, that is very important. And I agree with that, because there was a lot that we did not know about the law. And to learn as you go, that's very hard, because you will lose a lot financially, emotionally, you will lose. And that's where we had to deal with that, because we knew nothing of the law, because, okay, we're not a criminal-minded family, so we don't need to know anything about the law, you know, whatever. If you get stopped by the police, give them your license and whatever. But to be faced with something like this and know absolutely nothing about the judicial system, that was a real shocker.
Yeah, and most of us don't, and that's unfortunate, and that's what they prey upon. They pray that, put it in a book. Why? Because they figure we won't read, or blacks won't read it. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, is what they tell us. So if you don't know the law, you've had it, you've had every opportunity to learn it, basically, is what they're saying. And so it's our time to study the law, to really understand the law and the interpretation of the law. Black's Law Dictionary, that's one book that I'd recommend that people would begin studying. Black's Law Dictionary. That'll give you the legal jargon, the terminology, all the stuff they use. And you'll find that words that are in this dictionary are totally different and has different meanings from our everyday usage in the English language. So that's one thing that we can certainly begin doing. And again, petitioning the government, Congress, your senators, your representatives, you're all to fight for you, to fight and support your family and help change these laws, because that's what needs to happen.
Now, we've been out there. We've done everything that you said. Well, like I said, through learning, we have to learn all this. But we've gone with the senators. We have senators that we've gone to, the congressmen. We've done it. We have done it all. So we have really, really done the homework, which it really it's all about what they want to do. It's all about what they want to do and when they want to do it. But we have done everything humanly possible. We've even sent letters to the president. We've done all that. And, of course, they said, well, we can't do anything because this is not a federal matter. Okay, but Michael being in the military, Michael is federal. That's federal.
Absolutely.
I go to war. When you tell me to go to war, I go to war. I'm under your jurisdiction when I go to law. I mean, when I go to the war. Mm-hmm. So why am I not federal at this time? I belong to the president of the United States when I'm in the uniform. So I was in uniform at this time, so I still belong to you. So come and fight for me now, just as I have fought for you and the rest of the country. So I really didn't understand that one. But they told us that, no, this is not a federal matter, so the president can't do anything about it.
Wow. Yeah, again, it's redundant to say that makes no sense, but it absolutely makes no sense. But and then again, you know, the way that the government is ran makes no sense. So, wow. Toya, comments?
Yeah, I was just, based on your experience, I know it is, it's been so daunting and draining that probably not something you want to kind of walk through. But, you know, before you spoke to the necessity of being well prepared for any legal issues that might come, is there something that you stumbled upon later in this process that you think you wish you had known first, or other than just, you know, knowing the law to be able to know where to go? Was there a resource that you were able to stumble across, you know, other than, you know, friends of Michael that would be able to help you? But what was your biggest help, or what suggestion would you give to folks that, you know, for God forbid, that would have to be in a similar situation legally? How would you suggest they best move about it, or how are you moving about navigating?
The first thing, do not give the attorney a blank check. Pretty much that's what we did. We did a trust fund, and we thought it was going to be honest. So when we did a trust fund, and of course they can draw out of that as they need. Okay, mm-hmm. But every week it's more and more and more and more, which escalated well into the six figures, okay? Mm-hmm. So first thing, do not sign a blank check, and that's what I call a blank check. Do not do a trust fund. You tell me how much it's going to be, and then we will pay you that amount.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the hard thing about that. And also with the, we just had to learn as we went along, because like I said, Sharissa helped us a lot. We would get together in the afternoons, and then Michael would go to the law library, and he would, you know, we would share things, and we just got into the books after that point, just got into the books mm-hmm. and just read, and we just have to read, you know, when they tell us, okay, we're going to do this, we see, okay, what is this about? What all entails going to the hearing, to this, to that? So just have to read up on everything that they tell you, and don't take everything that they say for, you know, for granted. And
right.
also you read into it and don't believe everything they say either. So
mm-hmm.
just because they may tell you, go look, the only thing you have to do is A and B. No, I want to look, because I think I read somewhere where there's also a C. And then we
right.
look at other cases just like that one, such as Michael's case. Okay, then you reference those when you talk to your attorney. So we didn't know all of that until later, but still, it was still done before the end of trial, before the trial started. But in the beginning, we did not know that that you can reference other cases, and that will be a help to you as well.
Right, right. So again, like we just saying over and over again, research, read, you know, investigate, right? Like dig for that information that you're going to need. Those are things that are definitely necessary. Ms. Sharissa, what steps have you been taking to expose, you know, the injustice, and how have you come about really, you know, making this a movement? You clearly are doing, you know, making sure that your voice is heard, and that everyone knows about, you know, the injustice and what's happening with the case from February 6, 2016 with active duty Air Force serviceman Michael Giles. And so what steps would you take as a person who's interested in exposing social injustice? Any feedback for them, or any insight that you can offer based on this case?
All I can say is stick with it. It can be hard at times to get the attention of the media, especially with all I can say is just keep trying, reach out to as many people as possible. Try to get it to go viral. I think people make going viral a lot easier than what it actually is. It's very hard to get information out to people and
mm-hmm.
very quickly, and that's basically what I do every day. I work in marketing, so I understand how challenging it can be, but just don't stop. Change.org is a great platform. We've received over 127,000 signatures, and Facebook, and just sharing and posting and meeting people at marches and rallies, and just me and Ms. Phyllis, we go out in the streets and do what we have to do to get a story out there.
What's that? One more time.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Repeat that.
Oh, so it's not very easy. It's very hard to get in touch with the media to run the story or to get it out there on the social platforms, because going viral is not as easy as you may think it may be. So
right.
I can suggest you just hustle, and me and Ms. Phyllis have gone to rallies and marches and went to organizations and met with the NAACP and various things. So we're just going to keep going until Michael comes home.
Great. Could you repeat the website real quick? We want to make sure everyone has it out there. And your website is?
www.justiceformike.com.
www.justiceformike.com. Yes. Awesome. Did you have something else you wanted to add, Yah?
No, I mean, I just want to definitely thank our guests for calling in and giving us that information so that we can, you know, share with the world. I want to ask you all to definitely stay on the line. Let's go to the phone lines and see. We have our other guests on the line and talk about the educational piece. And let's just check the phone lines and see who we have on and if they have any questions or comments for our family that's on the line.
All right. So we'll be going to the line. We're going to start with a caller. 4085. If your number ends with 4085 and you have a comment, you have the opportunity or a question to speak now. Are you there, caller? 4085? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, we're going to try the next caller, see if the caller number ending in 9886 is there, if 4085 has nothing, because we can't hear you.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, no.
Awesome.
I was on the other end, but I'm just going to sum up everything. First of all, I am a military veteran, so when things like this happen to a veteran like Michael, you know, it really touches me because I consider him and I embrace him as my brothers in arms. And in regards to the laws, it wasn't made for melanated people. It really wasn't. And I think the elitists, and I'm going to call them that, they have an agenda, and the agenda is simple. It's genetic annihilation. It's to annihilate us to the simplest form, to destroy us. And the fact that they have this stand-your-own-ground laws, and it works for all non-melanated people, but when the melanated brother try to use it, he gets
right.
denied it, you know, and it's just basically such irony because, like I said, it's not our law to begin with. Just like the Constitution, we the people. Who's the people? We not the people because we wasn't the people in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this law we fight, yes, I agree, we do have to study it. And when we study it to a point, we can use their own words against them. So that's all I really wanted to say about that.
Thank you so much for your insight.
Is that Valerie speaking?
Yes, 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 Valerie.
Hey. Thank you for calling in, beloved sister. How are you this evening?
I'm okay.
Good, 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 good. Yeah, so another sister, I mean, fighting a military veteran herself, I mean, she's been there. So, you know, she's also, you know, witnessing what's going on with the strike in there in East St. Louis that has also recently ended as well. So, sister, we definitely want to thank you, a good friend of mine. Who's been down for the call. So thank you for your energy and your comments as well. We got our other sister should be calling in. You already know who she is, so she'll be calling in and talking about this whole educational piece as well. So just stay tuned. I want to encourage everyone to stay tuned. And, you know, as we get the other callers on the line, our other guests will be calling momentarily. So let's all stay tuned and keep your eyes open for that caller. She may or may not want to be anonymous, so we give that option.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break. And or did you want to go back to the phone lines?
Let's see if caller 9886 has something before we go because they've been on hold for a bit. So
sure.
9886. If you are on the line, number ending in 9886, and want to hop on the line and chat, you are on the air. 9886, are you there?
Greetings, everyone. Hi, this is Nintu Shi, and I'm actually just getting in on the call. So I'm just taking it in and listening.
So peace and blessings. Nice. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate the support.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we are talking about, beloved, is we are talking about U.S. Airman Michael Giles wrongfully convicted, and we are also talking about the recent strikes that we've had in the St. Louis area, actually St. Louis, Illinois, where we've had the District 189 teachers go on strike about the, you know, social injustice going on within their school district, within their district, and how certain administrators are making so much money and you know, misappropriation of funds basically is what's going on. And some teachers decided to speak up and speak out against it, while others decided to temporarily speak up and speak out against it and then, you know, end their strike. So we're hoping to have our other sister come on the line to kind of talk a little bit more about that. And then again, we still have our family on, the mother of Michael Giles. So that's pretty much what we're talking about. And as well as the churches that have been burning, we've had about 7 churches burning here in St. Louis, Missouri. And so just some horrific things have really been going on. And so we're just kind of speaking out against those things and just letting the community know, you know, to be aware. So at this point, let's go ahead and take a commercial break. We're going to play that song by Sam Cooke. And then after that, LaToya will be on, and she, you know, she'll keep on answering the phone lines. And we should have our other guests on the line when we come back. Thank you so much for tuning in.
All right. We'll be right back.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
All right, and we are back on the line. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Black Lives Matter Radio. So we are back. I'm your co-host tonight, LaToya Williams, and we are also on the line with Ya'ami. We are talking about a few things tonight. We started our night and talking about, education, and we will soon have our guests coming up to talk about the strike. And the strike for social justice and the strike of the East St. Louis teachers that kept students out for about a month out of school, but until negotiations were reached. We also have briefly discussed the church bombings and the injustices and the violence, random acts and nonsensical acts of violence, especially against Black people in the United States. And we had the opportunity to learn and grow despite some of the injustices and unfortunate situations that we have going on in our lives, in Black lives. We were fortunate to be able to learn from the mother and friend of Michael Giles, who was on February 6, 2010, an active duty Air Force serviceman who was wrongly convicted just because he was trying to defend himself. And so that's what we run into. That's what this is Blog Talk Radio's Black Lives Matters radio show. And we're going to jump right back into the next segment without further ado. So coming up, we do have on our line, looks like our guest is on the line now, or maybe we lost her. Is our guest on the line right now? Looks like we have a guest, 6574. Are you on the line?
Yeah, this is me. This is
you. Okay, got you. So that worked out perfectly. So, and then it looks like we may have gotten disconnected from our guest caller, so she'll probably be calling back in just a few. So, Brother Y'all, you can take it away.
I'm going to get her back on. Hold on.
Okay. All right. But as we're thinking about, we're moving into education. So let's just talk about this strike. So according to the Associated Press, the teacher strike kept students out of classrooms in the East St. Louis, right? So that's southwestern Illinois. And that school district, and it kept them out of there up until like October 30th. They had been out of school for about a month. So according to Associated Press, the deal ends a strike in East St. Louis that began October 1st, leaving more than 6,000 students out of school in a poor Black community of about 27,000 residents across the Mississippi River from St. Louis. Dave Comerford of Illinois Federation of Teachers said, much more than a simple simple majority. The unanimous sentiment is that teachers are looking forward to getting back teachers, and that was from the Illinois Federation of Teachers, Dave Comerford. The East St. Louis School Board and District's Financial Oversight Panel signed off on the deal after teachers accepted the contract offer. Under the contract, teachers will gain an average pay increase of about $12,800 over 4 years. However, Superintendent Art Culver said a change in the schedule of step increases for teacher salaries will save the district about $40 million over 20 years. It sounds like they're satisfied with that, and they're happy that the kids are back in the classroom. So then they also discuss how the district spokeswoman, Kelly Hawkins, says that two sides reached the tentative agreement early Friday after a 13-hour negotiating session. Officials say classes have resumed, and that was the Monday following. So that would mean just this Monday. Sounds like classes just started back up. And the district, which has been under state control since 2011 because of its poor performance, has said it needs to save $10 million over the next 10 years. Under the deal teachers rejected before they went on strike, teachers would have received a one-time payment of $2,000 and modest raises, but the amount of time it would take to reach top salary scale would have doubled to 21 years. During the contract standoff, some students in this impoverished city have been getting food and some academic instruction at about a dozen community centers spread across town. The East St. Louis High Flyers football team, a seven-time state champion and one of the city's few sources of community pride, had to forfeit its final four games because of the strike ending its 15-year streak of state playoff appearances. Now, this was the copyright was the Associated Press. Now, I don't know. As a person that writes, I kind of have some feelings about the way that was written, but I would like to hear about the insights from our special guest whenever we can get her back on the line. How do you feel firsthand when you hear that story coming from Associated Press regarding the strike? How do you feel based on the information you know, based on the conversations you've had? Does it sound like a correct portrayal of the situation there?
I mean, well, you know, the city of champions, as East St. Louis, Illinois, is often referred to, and it's really difficult. It's unfortunate what's going on. It's unfortunate how the schools have been affected, undereducated, underachieved. But you see that all over. You see that all over in the black communities. You rarely see that in the white communities, right? And mm-hmm. So, you know, we got the education-to-prison pipeline, and it's a systemic issue that, again, like we said, needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for that to change, we have to not just believe in educational reform, but we have to begin the whole educational reform process, right? And that starts with our children. That starts with our youth. That starts with our babies in kindergarten, preschool, first and second, you know, K through 12. You know, if we feel that our children are not receiving the adequate education that they need, then we need to get them out of that school or out of that school system. Case in point, my daughter attends a public charter school, and it wasn't until recently that my seventh-year-old daughter told me that they'd restrained her for crying. And I was furious. Still currently furious. I had detectives, child abuse hotline, and everybody up there at this school. I mean, I am still furious that a seven-year-old is restrained in a school setting. Now, mind you, this is my daughter, and my daughter is not, she makes Scholar of the Week almost every single week at this school, right? And the fact that they are allowing this to happen and not contacting, you know, the parents or contacting myself regarding this incident that transpired. There's no other documentation. I was not called or anything. And so I'm still frustrated. And so, again, this is this education-to-prison pipeline, this leave-no-child-behind type deal. And we have to speak up and speak out against these types of injustices. There's no way in hell these teachers should be touching these kids. There's no way in hell these teachers should be restraining these kids. You know, I didn't know anything about this until recently. And my daughter told me that it happened like a year ago for the first time. And I'm like, what? You're not telling me this? And she said that they restrained her to the point where she was choking. She couldn't breathe. And so, again, I'm dealing with all of that at this particular school. This is Kip Victory here in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'm dealing with that situation now, as well as my son goes to a school, and he was actually exposed to pornography. He was actually exposed to pornography on the Internet at school in a school classroom setting. Mm-hmm. And one of his classmates told him to go on YouTube and pull up girls having sex. It pulled up something, and then it filtered it out. And then the boy told my son, go to, and my son's 8 years old. So, again, like Sister Phyllis was saying, this is not something that we expose our children to. We are not you know, we don't have that type of background. We believe in properly bringing our children up in the right way. And then when they're exposed to this stuff, this learned behavior, then we have an issue with that. I don't talk to my children about sex. They're too young. So why is it that they're being exposed, not just my child, but other children are being exposed to sex? They pulled up girls having sex, on Google. So the boy showed my son, again, in a class setting, same day, within that same time frame, girls having sex. And it popped up, and they saw at least a minute of whatever it was that they were watching on Google. The counselor didn't contact me. The principal contacted me and told me, hey, your son was exposed to, you know, sex. And it wasn't a whole lot, but he was exposed. What the hell do you mean it wasn't a whole lot? Why don't you have filters in place? So, again, I am furious that my child and other children have been exposed to sex in school. My son's in third grade. He attends Eagle College Prep Academy in St. Louis, Missouri. So, again, these are situations and scenarios where we need to be fighting. We need to be talking about and speaking up against these injustices in our school systems and our school settings. Again, with District 189, they're underachieved, underaccomplished. And again, where there's underachievement and underaccomplishment, you're leaving the door open to a crime, okay? And then this crime is going to lead to the gentrification. And that gentrification is going to lead to, oh, this school has to be shut down. It has to be closed now because if you're in a high crime area, you're in a high crime neighborhood. And this is what they use to get us out of these schools, to get us out of these corporations, these businesses. Oh, your business is located in a high crime neighborhood. We need to get you out of there, you know. And so East St. Louis, at one point in time, it was largely populated with whites, right? And now it's predominantly black. And so we don't see the whole gentrification aspect happening anytime soon in East St. Louis. But in Ferguson, Missouri, here in St. Louis, Missouri, Ferguson and DeVille, they're on the chopping block for gentrification. They are the only two remaining black neighborhoods in St. Louis, Missouri, and they're trying to get rid of them. Prior to the Michael Brown murder in 2014, when Michael Brown Jr. was murdered, and they were Ferguson itself. The black part of Ferguson was supposed to be non-existent due to the gentrification. The Ville is supposed to be non-black. A non-black neighborhood due to gentrification. So it's been temporarily placed on hold because of all the media and all the investments and all the celebrities and all that stuff that's coming down here. Dick Gregory and Cornel West and John Lennon and all the Common and all the other celebrities that are coming down here now, right? So again, we need to continue to speak truth to power and expose these crooked I don't even know name for them right now, these crooks, this injustice system. So please go to the phone lines now. Let's see if we have our sister on the line. Do we have her on the line yet, or do I still need to work on getting her back on the line?
Yeah, it doesn't look like she's made it back on the line just yet. She may be having some technical difficulties, but
that's
you
fine.
Know.
Let's do this. Let's go ahead and do a question and answer for our family that's on the line now before they have to go, and I'll work on getting her on the line, and if I need to call back in, then I'll do that, all right?
Okay.
All right, thank you so much.
All righty. So we're going to start or continue with the questions. We appreciate, Sharissa and the mother of Mr. Michael, active duty Air Force serviceman Michael Giles. I'm sorry, and we're gonna go back to having that conversation because it's really vital for multiple reasons. So much of the conversation tonight has been centered around law. A lot of the conversation has been centered around education, and you know, as an independent consultant personally, with Iron Will Educational Consulting Services, I recognize that it's really necessary to tap into the collective knowledge of the community, you know. And so when we have these conversations, as devastating as it is to have to address and maybe even relive and kind of go through this process about sharing information on how to try to keep things like this and wrongful convictions and so forth from happening, you know, we really have to be continuing to share what we learn along the process. And so I'm going to go back to the lines to see if just to ask a couple more questions of our guests and supporters of U.S. Airman Michael Giles. So, ladies, you're on the line. Are you still there with us tonight?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for holding the line. We appreciate your patience and you know, being here to share with us. So if you think about since February 6, 2010, you know, since that night and the way things have taken place, what would be, I guess, in addition to, I want to make sure we recap, not making sure that, you know, making sure that you aren't signing a blank check. So no trust fund when it comes to dealing with your legal expenses. We want to make sure that we completely understand what the cost of services are before we engage, even though in those times where we are really desperate and want help by any means, we might be interested in saying, hey, whatever it takes, but it can lead to extreme expenses. What other things have you or may you have realized in this process? Because social justice and moving towards social justice, this is really hard work. What do you say keeps you lifted? What keeps you grounded in terms of, you know, understanding what this is really all about? But what keeps you lifted and hopeful? Because what a lot of us are running into, especially when we have victims of crime and victims of social injustice through the penal system, we have people that end up being and feeling hopeless. So I really want to hear from each of you, you know, no particular order necessary or expected, but how do you stay hopeful? And, you know, how do you, you know, stay grounded and understand and keep up with the work, even though it's so trying?
Ms. Phyllis, do you want to go first? She might have had to step away.
Okay.
I think the main thing would be talking to Michael throughout all of this. He's remained faithful in all of it. He's been very strong, even though he's literally living in hell right now because he doesn't fit into prison. He doesn't fit into that lifestyle or that mentality, so it's very hard for him. But every day I can tell he tries to put on a brave face when he calls us and gives an update on how he's doing. And all the other thing is just continuing to fight. Staying busy is the only thing you can do, because if we get idle, then we start to really think about what's going on. So it can get hard if you kind of pause. And another thing I want to note is just for families, if they find themselves in a similar situation, just try to do your research as early as possible. I mean, like Ms. Phyllis said, we didn't know in the beginning. This is before Trayvon Martin's case happened, so we didn't know about Stand Your Ground or anything like that. And we believed that our lawyer would do their job, but definitely do your research when it comes to your lawyer and the process.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and state laws are different from one state to another. You just never know. The unfortunate thing there, you know, Florida, you know, has particular laws that, as the previous caller called in, seems to work for some of the population and not so much for others. So you really have to be able to work that angle, I would imagine, when dealing with legal matters. And anything else any other? I guess what I'm hearing also is that so much of what needs to happen is really supporting the folks that are the real victims of the injustices, you know, it really is about, as much as we're pushing outside, you know, we can't forget about the folks that are dealing with this injustice on the inside and how to keep them lifted and motivated. And so that you brought up a very good point with regard to figuring out how to, you know, move forward and stay lifted. It's like, you know what, at the end of the day, I guess, even with a lot of us with social justice, it's not always about us. It's about the people that we're trying to help. And we do have to keep that focus also. So, Ms. Giles, is there any other insights that you could provide in terms of how you might stay, you know, hopeful amidst, you know, such a traumatic experience over the last 5 years?
I believe she.
Yeah, maybe she stepped away. But
I think she was trying to jump back on. I think she's at work right now, so she's kind of in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hello.
Well, we.
There she is.
Sorry.
That's okay. Hello. We appreciate your time. I wanted to make sure I thank you for your time. You know, but I guess one last thing, because we only have a couple more, you know, minutes in the broadcast before we go. And again, thank you. We are on the line with the mother of U.S. Airman Michael Giles, who was wrongly convicted after a event at a nightclub where he fired off a gun to protect himself. I wanted to know from you specifically, how do you stay hopeful? You know, how have you remained hopeful, and what insights or ways to kind of keep that momentum and keep pushing despite it all? Do you have any insights on how you manage over the last several years?
It has been through a lot of prayer. The first couple of years was not easy, I'm not going to lie. I actually thought that I wouldn't make it, and I really didn't want to be a part of anything. I'll put it that way. I wouldn't want to be a part of anything because, you know, it seemed like I lost my son, even though he didn't die. But this is still 25 years. That's still life. That's still a long time, and that's still taking him away. So the first 2 years were very, very hard, and with support from my husband, Michael's dad, he pulled me through a lot. He would get on me and say, you know, you're no good to us if you're going to hurt, constantly mm-hmm. cry and put yourself in the hospital or whatever. So Michael mm-hmm. needs you. We need you to be strong. So my husband was very, very instrumental in that part and in prayer.
Absolutely. Definitely. I mean, it's just all of what we have to go through so often, you know, is about, you know, really figuring out how to cope. And I don't think we address that enough, you know, and especially, you know, since we have since 75% of folks on the call tonight as for host or co-host or guests are women, I think I can take the liberty to speak to the fact that so many of us women are expected to, you know, just be strong, you know, just hold on, just hang in there, you know, because so much of what is held together rests on our shoulders. And so that's an extreme and a daunting task to take on. It's rewarding, but it can be very, very much taxing, you know, as a woman. And so I commend the two of you for, you know, continuing to stick behind our brothers, despite what they, you know, have going on and are going through specifically, you know, in the case of, you know, this wrongful conviction of Michael Giles back on February 6th, you know, and how this situation, you know, escalated. And so I just want to commend you ladies for being such just wonderful beacons and being willing to share and come on the show tonight and continuing to push, you know, to know, despite how difficult I'm sure it is to go without one of your brothers, your son, your you know, your partner, your friend, and not have them around. And so, you know, if in any of this you haven't, you know, I know you've had to hug each other and embrace each other and take on a lot, but I absolutely commend you for your strength and I admire you. I can't even commend you for it. That's just what we do. But I admire you and I admire your strength and you're appreciated. Thank you so much for coming on the line tonight. I'm going to let,
thank you.
Before we
thank
go,
you.
We separate. Brother Yah, are you on the line with any closing remarks with the last 5 minutes of the radio show?
Yes, definitely, definitely, beloved. Yes, definitely, definitely, definitely. Listen, I want to say that it has definitely been indeed an honor hearing from the both of you, and I'm glad that we were able to meet, Sharissa, when I came up there to that Million Man March, and you passed out the flyer, and, you know, like I said, I read the flyer, and we kind of talked about it, and I definitely had to have, you know, this story out there. Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely, you know, keep inviting you guys to come on to the show. We do this every Wednesday. You know, invite friends and family and everyone else to come on. You got any issues or any topics, you know, in the community, anything that's going on in the community that we need to bring up as a topic, you know, we're always open for ideas and suggestions, mm-hmm. Anything that we can do to help our community. You know, we want to definitely do that. Also, it's unfortunate that we were not able to get our other sister back on to talk about the educational thing. But what was going on with that, with the striking in East St. Louis, Illinois, with District 189, the reason why the strike came to a halt is because the teachers' insurance policies were being threatened. So they said, okay, you want to strike? Okay, we're going to take your insurance away from you. You want to strike? Okay, well, we're going to fire you. You want to strike? Okay, well, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And so so that's what ended up happening. So they struck fear into some of the teachers, and subsequently the teachers began going back to school. And as Latoya was mentioning about the contract that they signed, yes, though they were already booked into a 21-step contract, whatever that 21 steps is, mm-hmm. And they settled for a 19-step contract, whatever that 19-step contract is. So anyway, we're encouraging you all to tune in next week because we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, definitely.
We're gonna talk about more about the education, more about the strike, more about those who sold out, basically, you know, settled for the 19-step contract. So we'll be talking more about that. And, Lady Sister Phyllis and Sharissa, we'd love to have you all on again next week. And we want to just continue speaking about, you know, what's going on with your family and any updates with Michael. And if we can, you know, we can schedule someone, we can get Michael on the line. I know that may be a little difficult. But if we can work that out, too, to kind of hear from Michael, you know, what's going on with him and life in prison, you know, what that's like for him, you know, being, you know, in the military. And I also want to connect you ladies with a brother who had his daughter murdered in the military, brother Bob Johnson. So I'm sorry, Dr. John Johnson. I'll introduce you all to him
okay.
as well. So. So that, you know, I think that there's some things that can definitely be done, and we'll talk more off the line. So you have my, Sharissa, Phyllis, you all have my contact information, so definitely stay in touch. And, again, it's a pleasure, unfortunately, under these circumstances. However, you know, it all happens for a reason, and we want to just be that support and offer that support as much and as often as we can. This is a platform for you and the rest of our community. And so with that, I say, you know, again, thank you. My heart and love goes out to you and your family. And whatever we can do to help, we will do it.
Make sure you're
Facebook pages and all that stuff. Go ahead, sister.
Definitely. Just make sure you're visiting justiceformike.com. That's www.justiceformike.com, where you can sign his petition and continue with the support, connect on Facebook, and hear more about his story. So we're glad to have friend and mother of Michael Giles on the radio tonight, and we appreciate your time. And please stay connected. Thank you so much.
And thank you as well.
Thank you.
Definitely stay connected. We're on Facebook. My personal page is Yah Amih, Y-A-H, and then AMLI. Then we also have our Black Lives Matter Facebook page as well. And our host for tonight, she's on Facebook as well. So you want to go ahead and give them your information?
Sure. I can be found probably the easiest, facebook.com/ IERN dot WILL. That's Iron Will. And that's the educational consultant services that I'm the executive consultant of. Please just feel free to give me a call. I mean, you know, I don't know if you're somewhere where you can take down numbers right now. But my number is 252-628-9455. And I think we probably have some emails that have been shared. If you've reached out to the Black Lives Matters Inc. at gmail.com, maybe we'll be able to connect and get emails through there also. So we'll be able to just stay connected through that.
Yep, they could definitely email you at that email address as well. So you could address Black Lives Matter, Inc. Sister LaToya, she's able to, you can send her emails as well. You can reach me if need be on there as well. Someone will definitely be able to reach you and give you a reply, you know, respond to your correspondence. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everyone for tuning into the show, those that are in our chat room, those that are all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever you're on, we thank you. We appreciate your support. Tell someone else about our show next week. And, again, we will be launching Black Lives Matter Radio Show International. We'll be on one of the AM stations locally in St. Louis, Missouri, and broadcasting internationally. So, you know, we got a few other callers that didn't get a chance to call in due to some type of technical difficulties. However, we are looking forward to having all of you guys on again next week, same time, next Wednesday, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, which is 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much for tuning in to our show. Thank you for your love and support and for being there for us, and we'll continue to be there for you. With that, I digress. Thank you.
Yep, we'll see you next week.